I have smoked this cigar in the morning. I've smoked this cigar in the evening, and it's supper time.
And he's done it in the shower.
That's right. That's, if I could have a shower cigar, I'd smoke this in the shower.
He does it with the house. He does it in a mouth.
That's right. That's right. That's right. I do care. That's right. But I mean, what you guys are gonna, you know, laugh at me? So what do you guys think?
I would need to, I would not laugh at you here or there. I would not laugh with you anywhere.
Now laughing at you.
Yes, yeah, for sure.
So what do you think?
Rich, fire away, buddy.
Yeah, it's a good cigar. I mean, you know, what can you say? It's a solid smoke all the way through. I didn't have any problems with it, so that's all I got.
I would have liked to have the opportunity to, like, smoke an original. Right.
Yeah. Right.
Just for conversation's sake to
exactly.
see.
Yeah.
Right. Like I've gotten to taste
Ram, send us some.
Some point in my life, like some older whiskeys and stuff like that, right? And it's that effect of drinking in a time machine, right? Or getting to experiencing something in a time machine. And so to be able to know what they were shooting for versus what this, you know, new product was, this anniversary edition was, yeah. I think would be super cool.
Yeah.
You know, this is something I would buy again, right? I would keep a couple in the humidor because I enjoyed it. Did have a little bit of like nice spice to it. Some cool like toasty hay notes, a little bit of that, like that nice kind of classic leather. But it, you know, It would also have to be at the right price point for me. Like anniversary edition, as long as it's not,
I mean,
crazy out of its price point.
The price point on these are under $15.
Yeah.
Well, and like you said, how do you know it tastes like the original if you haven't had one?
Yeah. Yeah. Marketing works.
Well,
yeah.
Listen, I mean, you know. They'll send us some original. I'll talk to them. Yeah. I got a best friend somewhere.
No, it's good, though.
Yeah. You know, I think that's always the difficulty when you're choosing to show homage to a past element of something, that if people don't have that frame of reference to know what things taste, you know, what that was like before, you know, they could have said, well, this wasn't really about anniversary. And I think the way they kind of spun it up was that, you know, they were saying that they were trying to, you know, strike gold, you know, once again. So let's read it after we come back.
Never mind.
Just the destination, but baby, the whole elation riding down this lover's avenue. Slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. My hand is yours forever, sweet love. Our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
Hey, welcome back to Sip, Suds, and Smokes. Today on our Smokes episode, we are going over a product line from Artista Cigars.
Artista.
Previously known as El Artista. So, we're going through a series of cigars, and we were in the middle of discussion for the Artista Pulito 60th anniversario. And I was going to talk about a little of my notes about this particular cigar. I wrote down really good, great balance, kind of a touch of spice, and there's kind of a bit of some mint, you know, in the middle of this that I kind of picked up, probably on the retrohale if I know myself.
Definitely,
you know,
better. Some herbaceous vibes.
Yeah. Kind of a fair finish to this, so I thought it was kind of good and average once again. Going back to our, you know, our discussion, I really wish that I'd had that compare and contrast moment. I was just kind of judging the cigar for what it is, not how well did they strike gold and reproduce something that they had done in the past. And so for all I know,
like
this was, you know, 10 times better than the original.
Fair.
For right. all I know, or yep. they may yep. have completely missed the mark and it was 10 times worse.
And
know?
My point I was trying to make earlier was, you know, what, how's the taste of a smoker changed over the years? What were they smoking back then? Was it as complex as we're smoking today? I don't know. I mean,
yeah.
Or is it more complex? Was it better? I don't know.
Yeah, there's really no telling. I mean, unless you've got a vault with
a lot more chemicals that you don't want to know.
You know,
about.
Yeah, a lot more stuff. Some Agent Orange in there, maybe. You know, who knows?
That would be a fun episode to get into. It would be like the farming practices or something like that, because we've drawn the lines for like vintage whiskey versus yeah. new age whiskey, and we know that those have completely commercialized.
Could do a vintage cigar
right,
episode,
but. Everything that you ever see about cigars is it's still hand-picked, hand-grown, like from seed to sprout to full-grown plant. These things are cultivated by hand.
So I think the practices have not changed.
Yeah.
The production facilities have changed.
Some.
So
have they?
For the most part, they have. And the aging process, which... A lot of the tobaccos that are grown and aged now.
But as the world gets smaller, though, you're also able to pull tobaccos from different parts of the world and blend them differently.
And fermentation process is definitely
evolved. This flat earth gets pretty big.
I would say that they're definitely using, you know, the use of herbicide and pesticides has dramatically changed and altered in a broad range of, you know, agricultural products, but... You know, I'm thinking of the two things that are side by side, you know, in the Dominican Republic, which are coffee and tobacco are going to have a very shared space, you know, together.
Sure.
And there are more pesticides that are used on coffee than any other agricultural product.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if you've listened to any of our coffee episodes, I've warned you, I've told you, listen, if you're not staring at the one that says organic on it, you know, you are... kind of rolling the dice, you know, about exactly what you're getting at the end of the day. A lot of that stuff is washed off. I mean, when you really kind of look at what is a coffee bean at the end of the day, it's a fruit, it's a cherry, you know, there's a bean inside of it that's been protected from a lot of those elements,
that actually
have not leached on it directly. Plus, you know, you look at the finishing process for beans where it's washed, there's a ton of water that's gone over it, which could be also full of pesticides as
right.
well,
yeah.
you know. But you know, tobacco, you know, has gone through some of the changes, you know, in cultivation as well, and the use of, you know, both herbicides and pesticides as well. Even the way in which, you know, tobacco varieties are actually managed now. I think to your point, Rich, which is tobacco was a very locally produced, locally grown, locally, you know, consumed product because it was not shipped all over the place. And it wasn't really until a lot of
pirates
until a lot of colonists from the old world really occurred, where you know that tobacco was actually moving, you know, across any large body of water or landmass. And so today it's just all a matter of, you know, a cargo container and, you know, dropping stuff on a pallet and away you go, you know. So
and away we go.
I thought this was a good cigar. It was just a good, average, you know, product at the end of the day. I was waiting for some wow, bang thing to happen, you know. Don Polito, I mean, super famous, but, you know, I didn't get there were no laser show or fireworks shooting out of this thing, so.
Well, there were on my cigar.
You had to pay for premium for that.
And I hated the banding on this.
It was so plain.
Sorry.
I just had to rip you a little bit about that. I will say this, you know, the banding on this is pretty basic as well. And for when I first got these, I was like, I don't know if I'm going to like that. Okay, whatever. And then I actually got a hold of one of the boxes, and the box is beautiful. The box is absolutely beautiful for the cigar. The banding is basic. But again, to Benjamin's point, they're keeping costs down to keep the consumer costs down. By doing things like that, and it really shows. But the product speaks for itself, in my opinion.
I think the other thing too is, you know, it's not basic. I think it's classic.
Yeah, sure.
Right? And I think there's a big difference there, especially if you're looking at the box. Like, this is a pretty classic example of a cigar box. And if you're doing something that's a 60th anniversary, right, it's not going to be the WWE championship belt that a lot of, you know, brands and manufacturers want to slap over three quarters of a cigar before you try to figure out how you're going to get the thing off, you know, and light and actually enjoy the stick.
You know, I've actually held that belt in my hands.
I don't doubt that.
Bro.
Yeah, I don't doubt that.
That belt is heavy as crap, dude.
But yeah, I think this is a really, when I think of a box of cigars, this is what I think of.
Really?
100%.
Interesting.
Pretty classic wooden box. You know, has the, you know,
yeah,
palm trees and the, you know, DR.
It's brandy.
Yeah.
It's a very, vintage style box.
Yeah, classic.
And very classico, like very, man, when you open it up, there's stuff on the inside of the box that's just beautiful as well.
The cigars? What?
Well, the cigars, and then there's a little mural or whatever.
So like a fold out?
Yeah. Well,
pop-up cigar.
Let's rate this up and stop looking at your own hand first.
I'm not. We're going to give it a 3.
All right, fine. Some semblance to reality.
Majority ruled.
I had a quick story here about, so I was trying to find some sound effects, you know, for us to use during this episode.
Oh, Lord.
And I was, you know, it's interesting when you sit down and you're like, well, I want someone, you know, to welcome me to Dominican Republic.
You got to stop getting your sound effects off adult websites.
Then you run into people that are teaching you like slang words and teaching you how to cuss. And I'm telling you, the DR, there are a lot of people very passionate about cussing, you know, really well, you know, in Dominican. And so
the art.
Yeah. But I ran across this one person, and he was talking about elements of dialect. And, you know, if you're listening to me at any point in time, you're like, wow, that's a really good fake British accent, Mike.
Yeah, right? That's exactly what they're thinking. That's
exactly what you're thinking, right, Benjamin? And so this guy was actually talking about tone, and I love this conversation.
The tone. So you want to make your second to last syllable of like whatever kind of phrase you're saying, you want to make that kind of elongated. Ese tiempo está loco, pero Carlos, no me haga eso, mi amor, ¿qué tú haces? That kind of tone, okay? Not every single person talks like that and they don't do it in every single sentence, but you will notice listening to them speak that that's a way that they will talk.
What's so funny about that is me... My Kevin Newman, every time I get around Kevin, he's, you know, he talks a little bit of Spanish too. And it's funny because I'll start saying something. He'll be like, that's dumb. Don't say that.
that's not how they talk, but they should.
Well, so then he'll correct me and I'll be like,
Can we just apply it to English? Like, Benjamin.
Yeah.
No. Bargain.
Yeah, that's right. You know, that's right.
You know, I wouldn't even call that long tone. I just call that dragging the middle.
Yeah.
That's what I want to call that. Tell us about our next cigar, okay,
Bargain? Yeah, that's right. I got you. So this is actually a surprise addition to the...
I'm doing this one.
Yeah, this is a surprise addition. So I kind of give this one to these guys today. And I gave it to Mike a couple days ago, and then Benjamin got it today, and me and Rich had one at the PCA, so they are fantastic. And Mike's going to tell you about Artista Falu.
Yes, Artista's cigar Falu. The Falu is a novel approach to blending tobaccos, representing years of sourcing and development to bring you our best work yet. Artista Falu is so named for the red barns of Northern Europe and the United States that stand out in rich contrast to their pastoral soundings. I have like this, you know, flute in my head as this thing is playing in the background, waiting for Bammy to get her brains blown out. Anyway, so Falu features a toothy and rich broadleaf wrapper sourced from generations old family farm. For the binder, we selected an Indonesian leaf, which adds a touch of sweetness with a filler blend that balances flavor and strength. Those binder, filler, and wrapper are: the binder is Indonesian Sumatra again. The filler is Dominican proprietary blend.
Proprietary.
We can't tell you what it is, man.
Secret sauce.
Roll that. And the wrapper is broadleaf. So, kind of interesting. I actually smoked this right before we recorded today. And, the branding on this has a red stripe on the band itself. So, you know, it's pretty evident.
The harvest is yellow, the midnight's blue, and the filler is red.
Right off the bat, yeah. So I had several construction issues that happened with this. You know,
well, of course,
it kept on canoeing on me. You know, I kept on having to check the burn line quite a bit. And then Barger said, "You're smoking it too fast." No, you're
smoking.
You
were smoking it like a high schooler.
You were
sneaking
smoking
a cigarette
it too
in the bathroom.
Slow, because then I said, "Well, it went out twice on me, and I was sitting there having to screw around with it." He's like, "You're smoking it too slow, too fast." I think I know exactly the pace how it should smoke, and.
Can't do anything right for you, can I, Michael?
Yeah, you know, it's like, seriously, can you hold up cue cards for me? I don't know if I can do this on my own accord.
The way you're breathing is pissing me off.
Is there a video I can watch? I'm learning how to do this, you know, at this point in time in my life. So maybe I need to go back and listen to our own Cigar 101 show.
Yeah, I can teach you a thing or two if you listen.
Yeah. You know, I don't know. It just was very nondescript. You know, at the end of the day, I was like, you know, I was like, wow, you know, what's next? So anyway.
So a lot of those construction issues that you talk about, and I don't know if it's just my luck, right, or the myriad of other things that it could be, but it's probably not because I'm pretty keen about cigar storage and lighting, and you know, I think I have a pretty solid pace.
A process.
But
you were not getting coaching from Barger in real time.
You did,
and having construction issues.
But I have that issue with box press cigars on a pretty consistent basis.
Yeah,
and it's one of the top reasons that they're not my favorite type of cigar or Vitola cigar to smoke. Is because number one, I think that they feel a little odd to actually smoke, right? They don't.
You like them round in your mouth?
100%, right? But then also, too, I tend to have the canoeing issues on a pretty consistent basis.
I'm just going to say this on a box press cigar, I consistently, every draw, I'll rotate it in my hand. And it's very rare that I have a canoeing issue on a box press cigar.
They should put those type of instructions in the box
I understand.
Too much work.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to enjoy myself.
It's not if it's a subconscious thing like, oh, the band's facing up, let's turn it around. Oh, the band's facing down, let's turn it around.
Yeah,
like whatever. In my brain, so like I consistently keep my hot spot moving because, yes, if... And this is just me, and it's not science, it's pseudoscience. But this is just the way that my brain works.
And you only believe in science.
I think the person that made the cigar that you're smoking is cringing right now.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine.
I really have to pick up my hip waders. It's just getting so deep and thick in
here. I'm just saying. Heat distribution across a square is way different than heat distribution across a circle. That's science. So at the same time, like, there are things you can do to stop and prevent these. Only you can prevent canoeing.
Circle meets a square.
That's right.
So you're saying if I had a square mouth and it's the square of your mouth.
Yeah, that's right.
It would never have canoed. Is that your theory?
You got to think about it. When a cigar canoes on you, what do? You lick your finger and you put it on the cigar. If it's a round cigar, you lick your finger, you put it on the cigar, and you keep smoking, right?
I grab the lighter, I burn it even. I keep on moving.
And that's fine. But there are things you can do to prevent those things. Now, the speed in which you smoke a cigar can
absolutely
prevent or cause a canoeing issue.
Yes, can.
So at the same time, if we're just out here, you know, and just shooting the crap and hanging out, and you're not paying attention to your cigar, and you're sitting here puffing and puffing and puffing and puffing.
Negative.
Well, you might have a canoe. I didn't say you were doing that.
You did.
Here.
You just said it
outside in privacy.
Do you want me to run the tape back?
Yeah, run the tape back. Yeah. So anyway, I mean, I think there's
maybe one day we'll all ascend to the level of cigar etiquette and smoking technique
you
that you have,
Barger. You get on board with these conspiracy theories, and then we'll talk about it.
I had a couple more comments I forgot to add. It was kind of woody, cedar, mild in the middle of it. I actually paired this really well with the Dalmore cigar malt.
Nice.
It was the perfect thing. And I actually tried a little book, Chapter 3, from Beam, and it actually did not work very well. So,
that's a 3.
All right.
I disagree with that, but, you know, it's okay. Can't win them all.
It's all right. It's all right.
It's okay. And that's what we find out about on these episodes. Again. Not everyone wins, and we're not always the right one in the room.
It was really cool to have the whole product line. And, you know, I would definitely go back for that midnight all day long.
Yeah, I will definitely revisit a lot of these cigars. What about you guys?
Artista's in the wheelhouse.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. Solid smokes all the way around.
Well, listen, you guys have been wonderful tonight. I appreciate you. We have done three episodes.
He just called
tonight.
Me wonderful. Did you catch that?
I heard that. That's fine. We can talk about
recorded.
Listen, we'll jump in the canoe when we get done. It's fine.
I might be going too fast, too slow.
That's right. That's right.
I have the wrong
stroke
mouth.
Stroke, stroke, stroke. I want to thank our guest for coming on today. Thank you, good old boy Rich.
Just glad to be here, Coach. Is that a good one?
Thanks, good old boy Benjamin.
Smoke them if you got them.
Thanks, good old boy Mike.
Hey, come back, enjoy another exciting episode of Sip, Suds, and Smokes. I'll ask you to keep on seeping.
And I'm good old boy Barger, and thanks for everything, and keep on smoking. And don't forget to like, subscribe, and share. Tell your friends about us. Will it be the best thing you laugh at all night?
Maybe it was like, you know, rowing on the wrong side of the canoe.
It's left. It's left, right.
You
left,
got a J right. paddle,
trying to
Mike.
Steer from the yeah. front.
You got a J paddle.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Just tap it in.
The subscribe button.
Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, Uncle Larry, or whoever it is that talks to you on your phone, play podcast Sip, Suds, and Smokes. We love your feedback, and you can reach us at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram with our handle @SipSudsAndSmokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands,
millions, and millions
of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor. Take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. Come back. Join us for another episode. And keep on sipping.
This has been a One Tan Hand production of Sip, Suds, and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the dude in the basement studios, your host, the good old boys, will see you all next time.
so why'd it go away? For all the ones who are gone, we've been missing you. These feelings are so damn strong. I was going around those days, thinking everything would be okay.
How'd you go from a face in the